Anyway, so a guy is supposed to be over at 1 o'clock to work on the furnace. So let's knock this thing out. Like I said, I was hoping to find some deck lists from the regional Pro Tour qualifier, but I don't see them anywhere. So F it. So much for knowing what's good out there and what's not good out there.
Don't need to know what's good.
I don't need to know what's good. I know what's good, right?
Exactly.
I don't know. I want to know what other people think is good, Travis.
Well,
I want to know.
That's what you get for living in a society that bases all of their opinions off of what other people think is the majority.
That's not true. I just want to know what I got to beat.
Oh, so you don't want to know what's good. You want to know what your competition is.
I want to know what my competition thinks is good. How about that?
That's better.
There you go. What they think is good. Anyway, I'm Samus, he's Travis. This is Two Trolls and a Brew. I'm pretty sure we're recording. We are, excellent. And it's a podcast about Magic the Gathering. Specifically, try to get some edges while trolling out your opponent, making interesting plays, or more specifically, using cards that other people find to be less than stellar. And we put them into an amazing combination. Somebody out there has got to look at these cards from a different point of view and say, no, this card can be quite good. Quite good.
Yes.
So, how was your week, Travis? What did you do? Anything exciting?
Well, magic-wise, yeah. I went ahead at FNM, and last week I said I was working on the Assault Formation deck, and I took it to FNM as green-white, and I actually took second. Went 4-1 overall. Ooh, and the construction started again. I went 4-1 overall, and I actually did face some top-tier decks. A couple, actually. Let's see. So, the first deck that I went against was a green-white mid-range deck, with Dromoka the Eternal, the Wingmate Rocks, Gideon, all those, the powerful cards that they normally put in, a green and white deck. And then I guess he just drew too many lands is what he was complaining about. Normally I play the dude and he does really well. I guess it just wasn't his day. See, then the second, I 2-0'd him. The second deck I played against was a colorless Eldrazi deck. It just kind of appeared to be a standard attempt at the modern version. I mean, obviously it didn't have some of the powerful lands, but he overall did pretty well in the standings.
We'll get into that a little deeper, but let's leave that Eldrazi deck alone. Conley Woods put out a version that I want to talk about later on in the show, and I think when we look at it, it'll probably be very similar to what this guy was playing, I think.
Okay. Let's see. Then the third game, and I 2-0'd the colorless Eldrazi. The third game, that one was the most intense game that we had. Or the third match, I should say. It was against Jeskai Black. The first game, what is that noise?
Do you hear that? My chihuahua is like sneezing like crazy.
I thought something was dying.
I don't understand. She's got, it's like she sniffed something and now she's trying to get it out of her nose, and she's just going crazy. But her tail's just like a million miles an hour. She's just like, sneeze. Oh, I sneeze. So funny. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I just didn't know if you could hear it. I was about to ask you if you could hear it when you were like, what is that?
Yeah, no, I could definitely hear it.
She's driving me crazy.
I didn't know if someone had a squeaky chair.
I think she's just, I don't know. I think she's doing cocaine. Okay, I'm sorry. Please continue.
I was playing against Jeskai Black in the third match. And the first game, he had, let's see, he removed one of my assault formations. He just countered it straight up. So I was basically just sitting there trying to build an army, which my army consisted of two fortified ramparts and the Herald of, what's her name, Anafenza.
Okay.
So the Herald, I was just making creatures. I made three creatures with the Herald, and then I had two fortified ramparts. So we're just sitting there, not really doing anything. He was attacking me, of course. But before that, I got him down to 9, you know, in addition to him helping with his fetch lands and Painful Truths, all that stuff. So he was at 9, and I was at 3. And I was just like, well, I gotta top deck this assault formation and hope he blocks poorly. So I top decked the assault formation, and I made both of my walls able to attack, and I swung with my whole team, which at the time consisted of the two walls and two creatures. And he was just like, oh, well, I don't want to lose both of my creatures, so I'm gonna block one wall and one token and take 7. I was like, well, since you're doing that, I'm going to bump my team, and you take 9. And he just looks at it, he goes, well, I guess I'm an idiot. See, the second game, he just ran me over with creatures, which, that's fine. I kind of assumed that's how Jeskai Black would handle the deck, is just control and run me over. Then the third game, I ended up dropping about 1 to 2 creatures a turn, and then he just didn't have enough removal, because he took out the, I don't know if he had board wipes in, or, you know, the, you know, even small board wipes, but even if he did, he just didn't come up with enough removal, and eventually I just played the assault formation. See, then the third game, or the fourth match, played Mardu Green, and he just couldn't answer Linvala. That card is broken, because he had me down to 13, and he was at 18, so I gained the 5 life, and I got a creature, and he was just like, I don't have any reach. I can't deal with that unless I get a removal spell. He never drew the removal spell, so he...
And you're like, yes.
Yeah, so I just basically 3-shotted him. Then he couldn't answer Mastery of the Unseen, which, for obvious reasons, is a powerhouse. It's just more effective than Siege Rhino.
Let's not get carried away. Let's say it can be.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I mean, in the void, no. But in the right kind of situation, you just get so much value out of it.
Yeah.
It more than makes up for, you know, the 3 life drain and a 4-5 trample can be easily beaten down by a stream of 2/2s.
Right.
Especially when they flip up into Fellow War Sovereigns and
yeah.
And whatnot.
He's like,
so.
Oh, well, no, that's fun. I'd rather deal with a 2/2 than a 4/6.
Right, exactly.
And then the last game, or the last match, the one that I lost, was against Blue-Red Prowess. And
is it like my version, or is it more like the MTG Goldfish version, where they're running like the Majoring Bully and the Jeskai Elder?
No, it's like the one that did well when Oath first popped out. Had the Storm Rate, Storm Mage Chaser, or Storm Chaser Mage. So it had that, Monastery Swift Spear, Abbot of Feral Keep.
Then, okay, because his list doesn't run Abbot, probably for budgetary reasons.
And then just burn spells and removal and unblockable drawing, you know, that sort of stuff.
Right.
So he just beat me 2-0. But it took him a long time because both games I was able to see 10 lands each. So, I mean, it took him a long time to beat me those games, but I just could never get anything going. We played those games and I was like, you know what? Yeah, just out of curiosity, I mean, go report, but I want to see if it was just the land draw issue that had me not able to beat you. And then we played again and I just ended up just stomping him because I got the right amount of lands that I needed and I didn't draw any more. So it was basically like a Modo moment.
Yeah, I mean, again, those things happen in real life too.
Yeah.
But
like I wasn't like upset about it.
It feels like a Modo moment once you've played Magic Online for a little bit.
Yeah.
So overall, you'd play the deck again?
Oh, definitely.
You can of course find that deck list on SamusGrobo.com. The Herald of Faninza, Yoke Ox, Fortified Rampart, Wall of Resurgence, Fellow War Sovereign, Linvala. Did you play the Shepherds? I remember while we were talking that we had made some changes, but I don't remember exactly what those changes were.
I did end up playing the McKindy Aeronaut.
Okay, that was one of the things that we discussed.
Yep. I changed it from 2 Linvala and 2
The Samaria
Shepherd. I changed it to 1 Shepherd and 3 Linvala.
Okay.
And that,
I know the other one we talked about was the 3-5 flyer Angel of Tides.
Yeah, I couldn't get a hold of them.
Could be a hold of
Nope.
All right, well, I mean, overall, you definitely played again. You liked it. Master of the Unseen did work. Anna, do you think that this would do well at a PPTQ?
Well, I will find out next month.
Oh, yeah? This is your plan to play this at the PPTQ?
Yep.
Okay. I also have a PPTQ coming up, and I'm not sure what I want to play, but I kind of like the idea of this. I don't know. I've got a lot of things on the notes. I just want to touch on we're going to be running into a hard break here, not super soon, but relatively soon. So I want to keep my bits short if I can. And we played Sealed this week at Friday Night Magic. I opened what I thought was an insane pool. My first pack started with Foil Chandra and a Eldrazi Mimic. The rest of the cards are pretty solid. And then I opened Oblivion Sowers. I felt like I had a really bombastic pool where I could have went two ways. I could have done, or three ways really. I could have done what I ended up doing and went red blue, kind of a control-y with a bunch of creatures, which is what I ended up doing. I could have went black green, where I had a lot more removal spells, but my creatures were kind of meh. So I kind of steered against that. Or I could have went balls to the walls and just played five color, which is what I probably should have done. I probably should have just went totally greedy. But instead I erred on the side of caution but still played the most powerful cards that I opened. And I just had a lot of situations where I flooded out because I had to play, I think, 19 or 20 lands in hopes of getting all these powerful powerful six drops on time. And sometimes I flood it out, which is not a big deal. Sometimes everything hit just fine. Realistically, what typically happened was I got stuck on two lands or three lands pretty often, which really surprised me. And it took me, you know, till turn four to get my, you know, my third land or on the draw, stuff like that. Like, things where I missed two lands in a row, and then I proceeded to draw the lands I needed, but I was just too far behind. A lot of situations like that. If I were to do it again, I probably just would have played the crazy five-color deck and just hoped to gotten there.
Right.
But, I don't know, it was a lot of fun, and I really thought I was onto something, but essentially I felt like I won before I even sat down to play. Like I said, Foil Chandra, a bunch of high-dollar rares,
right,
including the Oblivion Sower, the Mimic, a couple of other things. So I felt really solid, so I didn't feel like I had to win the tournament to get my value back.
Yeah, you won monetary-wise.
Yeah. So, and that gives me two Foil Chandras that I think I'll try to trade away or sell or whatever. Why they're hot. Looks like they're showing up in a lot of deck lists right now. So try to move them while they're hot. I'd rather play non-foil ones. But, I mean, that's just me, so whatever. All right, shall we do Troll Cards of the Week?
Yeah.
Awesome. Mine, I think I've decided, is Needle Spire. Those of you who don't know, Needle Spire is a land. It is a red-white. It's the Boros land that for a red, a white, and two generic becomes a 2/1 double striker, which doesn't sound that great on its own, except I put together a sweet new deck that we'll discuss later that I really am enjoying how it's playing, and it's just loading up counters on Awakened Needle Spires or Awakened Lumbering Falls or whatever, and just going to town with these Awakened Demand lands. And I really, really loved it. So I think I'm going to pick Needle Spire as my Troll Card of the Week. It's cheap. Pick it up now if you can, especially if you're playing Magic Online. Because I think all of these lands are going to go way up after the rotation here at the, what, in April?
Yeah.
But I think that Needle Spire in particular is going to be a good one. Your turn, Wall of Resurgence, man.
Well, my troll card is Wall of Resurgence. I didn't realize how effective Wall of Resurgence was until I was actually playing against both the Mardu Green and the Jeskai Black deck. Because, at least in my deck in particular, I would much rather have a Wall of Resurgence than a land. And when I say that, it's because all of the cards early game in my deck are all zero power, but they're all big in the butt, right?
Sure.
And it just completely threatens them even more when they play a Crackling Doom, and I'm just like, okay, I'll get rid of a land, I don't care, because I'd rather have the 6 toughness than the 3 toughness. It's just better in my deck, and my deck really only needs 2 or 3 lands to win. I know I do have cards that, you know, 4, 5, and 6 drop, but they're not needed to win in my deck. So, yeah, having a Wall of Resurgence and activating a land, in my opinion, it's just so beautiful in this deck. And that's,
yeah, we kind of were arguing over who was going to be able to make Wall of Resurgence our Troll Card of the Week this week. It just did so much work for both of us that in our various decks that it's just been an amazing card for us. I don't know if there's enough good things that we could say about
it. Right. And, you know, I was kind of thinking with this, basically with this assault formation deck, if a wall deck would be effective in modern right now.
Maybe. Like, you have...
If wall of...
You have a couple... You're gonna say you have a couple of good walls that to draw cards or flash creatures back to your hand, right?
Right. There's two different walls that draw cards that I'm aware of: the Wall of Omens and the Sylvan Caryatid. No, that's not the right name. Either way, it's a 3-drop. It costs 2 green, a colorless. It's a 2/5 that lets you draw a card when it enters the battlefield.
Yeah, I guess the problem would be, again, it goes back to that Eldrazi deck.
Yeah.
That's basically taking over modern. It's like, how do you beat that? Like, if they take your enchantment, you're kind of in trouble. Unless you play something, you know, like a regrowth type effect to put it back in your hand or whatever. Which you could do, but it gets a little crazy. Yeah, I don't know. It's a possibility. I guess we need to look and see is there a way that, what are the different ways in modern that's more easily able to shut down, the Thought Not Seer, I guess. I suppose in actually, hang on. My brain's turning over.
Snake Tribal, what obviously.
If... Say what?
Snake Tribal, obviously.
Snake Tribal. No, you can play, is it Leyline of the... What's the white Leyline that says you can't be targeted by spell or abilities? Whatever that is. You could play that, and you could also play... the land that makes more land or makes more mana equal to your devotion, the Shrine of Nyx.
Yeah.
So you can run a shell along those lines.
And then ramp into Stream of Life.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an option. My point is, as long as you have a way to deal with the Thought Not Seer, as long as you're able to deal with the creatures, as long as you're able to block it, effectively, then you're okay. Yeah, maybe. It's something that we could toil around with and see if we can get there. But, I definitely think there's a lot of weird potentials out there right now that people are kind of focusing on the fact that this Eldrazi monster is doing what it's doing right now, where I think that we could... I think if people start attacking it, instead of just trying to join it, that I don't think it will be the best deck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it'll be a good deck. I think it'll be one of the top ones. But instead of being the best, where, you know, 50% of the people want to play it, I think that it could easily be a deck that's, you know, one of the top 4 or 5 decks again. And I think it can be shifted around. And a wall deck? Maybe. I don't know. I have to look at all the walls in modern, I guess, and see. Specifically in what? White?
White, green.
Possibly green, or probably green. There's probably enough out there that's good.
Because you also have...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the Sylvan Caryatid. No, not the Caryatid. I know you're talking about the green and one.
Yeah.
From the original Ravnica.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha. I smell what you're cooking. You said Sylvan Caryatid, so now I got that stuck in my head.
Right, that's why I was like, oh no, that's wrong.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'm on board. I like that guy a lot. I would love that guy to be popular and shoot up in value. I've got a bunch of them. I'd cash them out in a heartbeat.
Carbon Caryatid.
There you go. Perfect. Look at you, master of the Google search.
Yep.
Well, let's get into this deck that I brewed up last night, actually. But inspired by you and your deck list last week, I wanted to build a deck around Wall of Resurgence. And we were kind of talking a little bit before the show that I really wanted to take advantage of the Eldrazi Displacer, Wall of Resurgence synergies, as well as taking advantage of things like Talamar Caller and the Awakened spells, and using things like Coastal Discovery, Clutch of Currents to do a lot of bounce effects, using things like Jotty Offshoots, Retreat to Xandu to like stay alive because I knew this thing was going to be a mess. And there were some things I couldn't afford and some things I could afford with Magic Online. And I wanted to pick up, you know, these man lands and stuff like that we're talking about. And the deck list I ended up with, I feel, is pretty sweet. There'll be a picture again at the website of the deck list on Magic Online. Right now it's got a strong ally sub-theme. Kind of take advantage of, and I don't know if that's really true, but Serene Stewart, Halimar Tidecaller, Noindar, and Mina and Deer, whatever, are my allies in the deck right now. Pretty tight little package, I think. Serene Stewart has just been a card I'm super impressed with. Should be on people's radar, and I don't know why it's not. I guess people like you and I who play Jotty Offshoots and Retreats have it pretty high on the list, but other people don't. Anyway, you saw, I think, a little bit of this deck in action, Travis. What did you think? Or did you see any of it in action?
Yeah, I saw that one match, that one game that you played. I really enjoy the concept, but, you know, like all the things, we do need to, maybe streamline it a little bit more.
Yeah, this is its last incarnation. When you start the stream, you'll see a different variation of it. I really feel like the mana base is what needs the help, right? We kind of talked about that. It would be nice if I had the fetch lands that we could sit in here and take out some of the coming to play tapped lands. Kind of make some stuff happen in that area. But on Magic Online, I just don't have the money to invest in fetch lands, especially fetch lands that are just going to rotate out in a month. But if I were to build this on paper, the mana base would be a little different. But I think the core of the deck with the offshoots, the clutch occurrences, the fiery impulses, anticipates, the stewards, retreats, Tidecaller, Wall of Resurgence, coastal discoveries, retreat of Emeria, Noindar, and Mina and Din is pretty strong. Again, I would like to have the Eldrazi displacers, and I wanted to experiment with them, but they're just so expensive for Magic Online. I could not, in good conscience, buy those and then rework in all these pain lands. I don't know. What do you think needs to be changed to streamline it? You tell me.
Honestly, I'm not really sure just by looking at them. I'm the type of person that needs to play the deck in order to figure out its weaknesses.
Okay.
First thing I'd do is get rid of ally.
You get rid of the ally lands?
Yeah, because you only have... I guess you have eight.
We have nine allies.
Nine allies. Yeah, you have nine allies, but you have all the land for it, too. You have enough dual land that it shouldn't even matter.
When I first added them, it was... First of all, keep in mind, I also thought that that 2/3 Death Toucher, the white-black one, was an ally. And I, very first game I played, I had the ally encampment on two and her with the whatever the other color was, and I realized it wasn't an ally. And I was like, oh, this isn't an ally. However, The fact that this deck basically only runs a handful of non-come into play tap lands. Another set of lands that basically lets me play Mina and Din on three, I felt was pretty strong, or a Noondar on five. Just because, again, almost all these lands come into play tapped, right?
Yeah.
Just having one more dual land that comes into play untapped, I felt was worthwhile. I could be wrong. You could be right. It's definitely one of those things that would instantly come out if I had the green-white or the green-red fetch lands. Like, they would be the first cards cut, right? But since I don't have them, it's currently like my poor man's version of how to get them in there.
Right.
But I would be open to other suggestions. Like, again, I really want untapped lands. So I could, put in Yavimaya Kos? Or, what is the red-white one legal? It is, right?
Yeah, they're all
the
legal.
Boris.
The
enemy ones are legal.
Yeah.
So I could probably run the white red pain land, like two of those and two Yavimaya Kos, and it would essentially do the same thing, except I wouldn't always be guaranteed to be able to play Mina and Din or Nolandar on their respective turns, if that was my fourth or fifth land of that color. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that is a useful consideration. I'm not 100% sold on this mana configuration. I will agree. Anything else? Like, just kind of looking at it. I know you said that you're not a big looker. I do need a lot of work on the sideboard. The only thing I sideboarded in was I trimmed like an Anticipate. And I took out the Retreats of Emeria, and I added in the red removal spells, because it seemed like every deck I played today on stream was some sort of red aggressive base deck. So,
I don't know, like,
having the ability to just play more burn spells, I think, would have been good as well.
I did say this while you were streaming, instead of Tragic Arrogance, the Planar Outburst, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's something else that I do agree with. Again, that's a consideration of what I had, what I didn't have. Tragic Arrogance has been doing a lot of work for me, but you're probably right. Since this is such an Awaken-heavy land, or deck, that I think we can get this going. In fact, I'm calling this deck Living Lands. So, it's got a ton of life gain, but realistically, its win condition is waking up a Lumbering Falls or Needle Spires, potentially giving it flying with the Talamite Hard Collar and going for it.
And I can even see, you know, after you wake up the land, if it gets, you know, I'm going to build a version of this. Well, I'm going to build a Living Lands with Mina and Din. But I could see how she can be a save spell also. Her abilities, like, you attack with a land and, you know, they block it and you're just like, oh, well, crap, I don't want that land to die yet, so you bounce it back to your hand.
Yes, yes, Mina and Din,
yeah.
You're correct. The other thing that I'd like to add to this deck, and I originally had in my shopping cart, but again realized it was a little bit too expensive, is the Sylvan Advocate. It's another ally, it's the green and a generic ally. Vigilance, I think it's a 2/3. All of your land creatures get +2/+2, and it gets +2/+2 if you have six or more lands in play. That was the other ally that I'd like to fit in this deck. I'm not sure where I'd cut now to cram it in, but if I could get those, I would also figure out a way to work those into the list.
Okay.
Again, the idea of just having these giant lands that attack are just so good. And then you can leave all your creatures back essentially on defense except for these lands. It works out really tightly, I think. I don't know. Anything else you want to add on this deck, or are we going to move on?
I really don't know anything else to add with that deck.
Okay. Sounds good. I appreciate your inputs. So I'm going to send you a link right now to a deck that I watched Conleywood play a little bit of on Sunday. And I really like this deck a lot. This is something very close to what I was playing with. I don't think this is an exact version of the deck. I'm pretty sure he has moved up to 4 Warping Whales in the main, which I cannot agree with more. I love Warping Whale right now. I think that it's one of the best cards. I think he's taken out some number of Barrier of Silence and moved to more Warping Whales. But I don't know. I like this deck list a lot. I'll, of course, include a link in the show notes. But this deck essentially is 4 Barrier of Silence, 3 Dimensional Infiltrators, 3 Fathom Seeders, Fathom Feeders, 4 Hangerback Walkers, 2 Matter Reshapers, 4 Reality Smashers, 4 Thought Knot Seers, 4 Wasteland Stranglers, 2 Ruinous Path, 4 Transgression Mine, 2 Warping Whales. But what makes this deck really sing, and let me see if they're in here. They are, oh, there they are. 4 Runes of Orin Reef. So the ability to tap and put a 1/1 counter on target colorless creature that enters the battlefield this turn, when all of your creatures are colorless, right? Especially Hangerback Walkers.
Right, I was supposed to say, and one of them is a Hangerback Walker.
Is very good. I watched him play, like I said, this weekend, play this deck. And at one point, he had, I think, 2 or 3 Runes of Orin Reef, played a Hangerback Walker for 2 mana, and then made it a 4/4 or a 5/5 with, no, it had to be a 4/4 with the, by tapping the other 2 lands. So essentially, it became a 5 mana 4/4, which doesn't seem that great until you realize that's still, potentially making, you know, 1/1 flyers when it dies. Plus, if you already have these lands and it dies, then you can just put the 1/1 counters on the 1/1 flyers. Like, because they're colorless creatures that enter the battlefield. So I think the Runes of Orin Reef are really strong. It's one of the lands that I went ahead and I bought while they were still pretty cheap. They're less than $1 on Magic Online. I would suggest picking those up if you're interested at all in this colorless stuff. Hangerback Walker plus Orin Reef is huge. Barrier of Silence or Fathom Feeder are huge. I'm going to be retweaking my green-black Eldrazi deck to hopefully include Hangerback Walkers if I can convince myself to buy them on Magic Online.
You know what? This deck is highly, highly similar to the deck that I was playing against the other day. Colorless.
Which is the reason I said, hang on that, let's discuss this list. This is the list that I think I'm probably closest to wanting to play. If I was playing a deck for the PPTQ this weekend, this is the deck that I would be trying to put together, I think. Or at least something very similar to this. It has all the things that I personally think are very good right now. Tomb of the Spirit Dragons I think are great. Ruins of Orin Reef I think are great. I love the Warping Whales. I think Thought Knot Seers, very good. Obviously Hangerback Walker and Fathom Seer are some of my favorite cards. So overall I'm pretty pleased. The sideboard I'm a little less sure about, but I'm sure I can track down Conley's newest list from his stream and I'll probably agree with a little bit more. But I don't know. What do you think of this one? And, you know, again, just looking at it, what do you kind of think?
Well, I'm only saying this because of how the deck that I played against went. I like the deck because, you know, I was watching it being played after me and the dude's match. and I think it's a good deck. Let's see. I don't know if 5 fetch lands is essentially what you want. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you want to be able to cast your... you do have a couple of colored spells, Bear, Silence, Fathom, Seer. Almost everything else is... Wasteland Strangler. Almost everything else is...
Right. Colorless mana.
Colorless mana. This is also a deck that runs 4 Corrupted Crossroads, which is another land I think is very good right
yeah.
now. It was another land that I picked up because they were so cheap on Magic Online. Literally, if you don't do anything else from this podcast, if you want to play Magic Online in the next year, jump online right now. Go to some place like I recommend card hoarders. But you can go to any place, buy up these play sets of these lands. They're not going to get any cheaper. And you can get away with a pretty full cart of a lot of these lands for less than $20. Everything else you can kind of work with. There's some expensive cards like Thought Not Seer, which I wouldn't recommend, or Reality Smashers, stuff like that, that I wouldn't suggest you grab right now. But if you grab these lands, you have so much possibilities for using these lands. Corrupted Crossroads in particular, Ruins of Warren Reef, just so good, so many options. Just go get them. You'll not regret them. All right, so let's see here. I've got Conley's stream up right now from last week. No, it looks like he's still running 2 Warping Whales. Yeah, it looks like this list is basically the same. I'm not seeing anything off the top of my head that looks too different. Than what he's got posted. So, I don't know. I was very impressed with it. Let's just say that. I don't know. Do you have a deck list you want to take a look at? Or should we talk about PPTQ? Regional PPTQs.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Because there's no real deck list that I...
Alright. Well, a friend of ours qualified for... a regional PPTQ, and he went this weekend to, I think we decided, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, sure.
I know that he said that he got a play against, now I'm going to get this, Caleb Durdenwald? I know Caleb for sure. I can't think of his last name. Caleb, he's one of the streamers that I really like. He's a brewer, kind of like Travis, and along Travis in my line, except successful at Magic. So I know he got to play against him. He managed to make it to the top 8, but apparently he lost to the top seed in the top 8. And I think he took, and I don't want anyone to quote me, I believe he took Bant Megamorph. And I know that we had a big long discussion in the Facebook chat about, do you play Bant Megamorph or do you play Bant Collected Company? And then Travis and I have been discussing it quite a bit. And because, was it last week that I put that deck list together? No, it was the week before. One of those weeks I put together essentially a Collected Company list that used all these flash creatures. A couple of weeks ago. I was basically just Collected Company and all these miscellaneous amazing 3-dropped flash creatures. So I kind of wanted to transition into that because while our friend did very, very good, I know that we have been discussing Collected Company decks on the side. So I had a colorless one put together. You started sharing a Collected Company list. I think you're sleeving up for this weekend's Friday Night Magic, is that correct?
Yeah.
So why don't we discuss that a little bit? There it is, I found it. Looks good.
Well, and the list that I'm using is really similar to, I can't remember his name, the dude that dressed up like a Power Ranger.
Well, again, that was the original inspiration for our, for the list that I put out a couple of weeks ago.
For your color list, your free color list.
Right. So this is the first critique I have for your deck here, Travis. You have mismatching lands. You have mismatching, like, you have miscellaneous languages that your cards don't match.
That's irrelevant to me.
No. No.
Like, honestly, I could care less what language it's in.
You're going to give me a stroke?
Oh, well, bound to happen. yeah, I could care less about languages, and I could care less about, you know,
matching artwork.
Yeah, matching artwork. Even matching the set, I couldn't.
Oh, you're such a commie. Like, well, if you're not going to match, if you're not going to match the language, it doesn't matter if you match the set.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no reason to get your panties in a wrinkle.
And most.
So why don't you tell us about this deck? We're discussing this deck, and I'm going to grab the picture. For SamusGarobo.com. But tell me, go through this deck list and tell me what your thoughts are.
Okay, so let's see. The dude who was playing, you know, a blue-green build, he was playing with all the flash creatures. And I do have 16 flash creatures in here, I believe. I can't remember exactly. I'll double-check right now.
Well, I'm looking at it. You have Dimensional Infiltrator, Void Grafter, is it Vile? I can't think of the guy's name. Vile Redeemer?
Yeah, Vile Redeemer.
And Bounding Krakus.
Yeah, so that's 4, 8, 12, yeah, 16. And then, I see Bounding Krakus. It taps or untaps target creature. Void Grafter gives a creature hexproof till end of turn. The Infiltrator is flash flying, exile top card of an opponent's library for one and a colorless. Then the Vile Redeemer. I think that one's going to be the most efficient, because essentially for 4 mana, like, you know, let's say there is a big battle that just happened. 4 mana, you know, you just build your team back up.
Or for 4 mana, you have 2 blockers.
Right.
Or you have, you know, a chumper and a 3-3 to crack back next turn.
Yeah.
It's a good one. I'll agree with you.
Other than that, I have the Sylvan Advocates, because
just the most efficient green creature right now.
Yeah, it really is. It's, at the very worst, it's still better than a bear. Let's see, then I have the Matter Reshapers, because
right, they're vital for a deck that kind of runs off threes.
Right. Let's see.
I mean, not vital, vital's not the wrong word, or right word, but, you know, extremely good.
Right. And I only have 3 Collected Company, because, well, that's how many I just have. And then,
is you'd run a 4th if you had it.
Yeah.
Okay, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask.
Yeah, I definitely cut, and I'll say this card in a minute. I definitely cut one of it and just run it as a 2-of instead of a 3-of. But, let's see, then I have, and this is where I went different than the dude who was playing at that tournament.
Also, off of my list as well, very different than what I was running.
I have a playset of Nissa.
Okay.
And I think she's just solid in this deck, no matter what happens. I have 3 Kioras.
You know I love me some Kiora.
Right. She's just so underrated right now. And then,
well, I don't know if she'll ever be not right. underrated, but I would like to hope that she would be.
Let's see. And then, to top it all off, as my 6th drop, I have Woodland Bellower.
As the 6th drop, as the thing that I probably don't need in this deck, and I already said I would cut if I had a fourth collected company.
Nope.
Your 6/5 that when it comes into play, you get another 3 dude, another converted mana cost 3 or less guy, right?
Yep.
Or is it exactly 3?
It is converted mana cost 3 or less.
So, but he doesn't have trample, he doesn't have haste, he doesn't have anything sweet. So basically you can tutor up a mana reshaper, a dimensional infiltrator.
I can tutor up any other creature in this deck.
Sure. Sure. So here's some thoughts. What does Nissa do in this deck? Like, it makes a 0/1.
Honestly, it makes a 0/1 and then draw cards.
Okay. So put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. Is that her minus 2 ability?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose that's okay. I don't think I'm in love with that particular ability of Nissa.
Not in this build.
But I do like the idea of having a deck that uses both her and Kiora. I think that's very strong.
Especially if you get the Kiora emblem. Like, okay, now I make a plant and 3 8/8s. So that's fun.
I mean, winning more is winning more, right?
Oh, definitely.
But I don't know. My question is, how does this thing stop, like, the mono red or the red, red splashing the color, like, say, green or whatever, like, weenie horde of things, like...
Oh.
Here's my 1/2 on with haste on 1, and here's my 2 goblins and attack you for 2 on 2.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Don't know.
Okay. Fair enough. Works for me. I do really like Bounding Krakus. I also really like the Void Grafter. I think both of those are really good cards that aren't seeing any play. I like the Sylvan Advocate, obviously. I like the Matter Reshaper. Like, I like a lot of these cards in a Void. I don't love the Woodland Bellower. It could be a really good, like, 2 of, but I think the Matter Reshaper kind of does the job. For me personally. And I really think that for the slot, you'd be better off putting in Eldrazi Displacers and putting in, like, your Fetchlands and getting your blue-white dual land. Is there another... I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's another... I know that Wedge is good on Fetchlands. But I'm trying to figure out if that Wedge is any good on Pain lands besides the Yevamaya Coast. I don't think so, right?
Wedge.
No. So, are you planning on using the colorless land that puts the 1/1 counters on a guy?
I was actually planning on running Mirrorpool.
Mirrorpool? How about the Hangerback Walkers? Is that also a possibility?
I had them.
If you had.
I'm not going to, like, go look for them, because I know nobody at the shop has them here.
Seems weird.
Well, I mean, they have them, but they don't have them for trade.
They don't have extras?
Yeah.
So, I said, it boils down to me how much flexibility you want. You could recycle Bounding Krakus, the Vile Redeemer, the Grafter. I'm not exactly sure how the wording is on Matter Reshaper. If that's a go to the graveyard trigger or if it's a leave play trigger. But it just seems, I mean, slightly better to me than 3 Woodland Bellowers. Maybe you keep 1 Woodland Bellower. As another thing to go fetch out and build your army back up post Wrath of some sort. But, like, I could see cut a Nissa, cut a Bellower, maybe cut 2 Bellowers for 3 Displacers and go to town. I guess just so much value to be gained.
Yeah. I won't disagree with that.
Excellent. I'm glad we were on the same page. Just the two of us. Yeah, there just isn't... There's not another Manland in those three colors. There's not another... Because they're not enemies, right? The only enemy is the green and blue.
Green... Let's see what... So we have the green, blue,
yeah,
green
blue,
black.
Sure, but you don't want to put the black in this deck, I don't think. Because white's an ally to both green and
blue,
so you can't. You can get the fetch lands there, but you can't. There's no pain lands in standard right now. Yeah, I guess that's.
That's about it.
I guess that's it, yeah. I mean, I don't know what else you could do. So literally, to, like, picture that stuff, I'm taking a Magic the Gathering card, and I'm covering up the two symbols that, like, are allies to the picture, and I'm turning it. And does that seem weird?
No, because I just did the same thing.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. We're on the same page. Overall, I like this deck. I think it would be good. If you were going to play this one at your PPTQ, do you think in the void, do you think you like this one more than the wall one? Or
I don't know.
Do you know?
I'd have to actually...
You need to play it.
Yeah, I need to play it.
That seems to be the recurring theme with you today is no theorycrafting for you. You want to play tests.
I have to. Like, that's just how I learn things. I have to do things. I can't just look at something and be like, oh, okay, I understand this. No, I have to do something to understand it.
Hmm.
That's just how my learning goes.
You know, I am glad that you realize what your shortcomings are.
Yeah, 100%. Like if someone...
like most people don't.
Someone
most
tells me, don't. You know, 8 times 5 is 40. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to remember that unless I do it myself.
Let's try it.
Yeah, like oh, okay, no, that works. Huh, that's exactly what it is. That's just how I have to learn. I have to do things.
I mean, I don't find that to be a problem. So I'm scrolling through, again, samusgrobo.com, looking to see if we actually posted my green-red prowess deck. That I'm playing sort of sometimes. I know we discussed it on the show. But I bring it up because it's the last deck I kind of want to talk about today. Cause we're getting close to the hard break here. Is Magic MTG Goldfish posted their new, Budget Magic deck. And it's also a blue-red prowess list. I don't know if you've seen this, so I will shoot you a copy just to make your life easier.
I've not seen it. I don't.
But, well, I have to because I try to put the show notes together.
Right, and I'm just...
And you don't always do that. So, anyhow, this deck list, it's very similar to what I was playing. It uses Swiss Spears, Jeskai Elders, which I was trying to decide between which other prowess guy I wanted to use, and they want the Elders. Mage Ring Bully, again, it's another 2-drop, pretty efficient. Storm Chaser Mage, and then the spell list is completely different. 4 Expedites, 4 Fiery Impulse, 2 Wild Slash, and Anticipate. Then we get back to the Teamer Battle Rage. They're not running the Titan Strength. They're using Tormenting Voice and Treasure Cruise. I mean, this deck just seems pushed to not be as aggressive as I would like it to be. He's setting up with things... Like, if I was going to be doing this, I would definitely run more Wild Slashes over Fiery Impulses. Because at the very least, I could Wild Slash a face to get the Prowess trigger. A Fiery Impulse could just be a dead card unless you're going to throw it at your own creature, which doesn't seem like a good plan. And not having...
Three.
Maybe. I still think I would go 4 and 2. I think I'd just have Wild Slashes over Fire Impulses. Again, I know that I can always throw a Wild Slash at somebody's head, because I'm just trying to get there as quick as I can. Right? That's the goal with this deck, is to just get there. And then there's no...
unblockable.
Well, there's no... like you said, the unblockable spell. There's no +3/+1 Titan Strength. Like, it just feels wrong to me. And not having... like, I can get or understand not having, now I'm trying to think of the name, Dugga Dugga Dugga, hopefully I can look at it, Azada, not having Azada, I can understand that, like, not everyone's going to look at Zada, or look at this deck and think Zada needs to be in here, but, like...
I definitely don't.
In my brain, I just go back to Zada plus, cut the Treasure Cruise, add the Zada, cut the Tormenting Voice, put in the unblockable. They just seem more efficient ways to draw your hands back up instead of Treasure Cruise drawing 3, having the Zada, having the 8 abilities to copy out to your creatures and drawing a bunch of cards, plus being able to move your Teemo Battle Rage across your whole team or your Titan Strength or whatever. It just feels better to me. But I could see something along these lines working out reasonably well. If we scroll down the article, they have an ultra-budget version for what they're putting at $6. Excuse me. Took too big of a breath there. This is where they put in the slip-through space. But there's still no Titan Strength. Not sure what card is taking... well, the monetary value really is besides the Cheevan Reefs and the Wandering Firmalure. Like, that's $23 of the deck. The Swiss Spear is not that much of the deck. Yeah, it looks like mostly a mana base cut to make it fit a little easier. But, I don't know, I like it. I think it's pretty good overall. And of course, if you continue scrolling down, you'll find the expensive version of the deck with Swiss Spears, Abbot of Carol Keeps, Jaces, Jor-El, Rune Diver. Pretty pleased with it overall. This is where we finally have the Titan Strength. This is a deck that I would seriously consider for a PPTQ, depending on what I think the metagame is going to be. So... I don't know. Overall, I'm reasonably pleased with a lot of these decks right now. I am, however, slightly disappointed that I could not find deck lists for the regional PPTQs this weekend, except from Channel Fireball. Channel Fireball posted their lists. Would you like to know what did well at the Channel Fireball regional PPTQ?
Sure.
It looks like it was taken down by Rob Pisano, with a 4-color rally deck. It is the new version of the rally that uses the Reflector Mages and the Ailey?
Yeah.
The Pilgrimage.
Yep.
I do like it quite a bit. I think it's probably a slightly better version, than the version I'm playing. Abzan yep. Blue took second. Kind of looking at it, this is a new list to me. I have not seen this list. Would you like a link? I'll put a link in there for you. I'll make sure to put a link in the show notes as well, so I don't forget. But, yeah, this is a new variation. Reflector Mages, Den Protectors, Siege Rhinos, Sylvan Advocates, Warden of the First Tree, Anafinza, Silk Wraps, Dramica's Commands, Gideons, etc. Like, I'm pretty impressed with this list. Obviously, this is somebody's brew with what he had.
It took seconds, cool. So...
yeah, pretty cool. Then we have a regular Abzan. I don't understand why it's stuck in my brain that way.
Because Harry Potter.
I don't think so. Oh, man, big yawns.
Maybe you just like being wrong all the time.
That's probably what it is. I wake up every day and wonder how I can be wrong today. I like this version of Abzan. Congratulations, you did it. You did it, Samus. You rolled out of bed and you screwed up. Good job. Stay in bed. I like this version. I'd probably play something along these lines. Maybe something that I disassemble for the sun for this PPTQ coming up. The reason I keep bringing up the PPTQ is we team up with my local card shop teams up with another card shop, and we do a Saturday at theirs and a Sunday at ours to kind of help share the judge cost and stuff. So it's a really good weekend. If you're within a few hundred miles of Salina, Kansas, or Manhattan, Kansas, you may want to check it out. I think the 12th and the 13th, or the 13th and the 14th, whatever that weekend is of March. And the reason I'm really excited is because not only I'm excited for all the PPTQs at my local shop, but we've kicked up the pay structure this time. And we've invested in some very interesting cards for the top eight, as well as Goblin Games did the same. So I can play in the Goblin Games tournament because I'm not required to be a judge there, where I do need to be a judge for the Salina, for the arena tournament. So I'm really excited because they have, not only do they have a Tarmogoyf as the top eight prize, which I'm okay with a Tarmogoyf. I'll take another one. Sure, whatever. But Liliana's of the Veil is the second place prize, and I have a hard time getting my hands on Liliana of the Veil, including other more awesome prizes. I'll put the flyer in the show notes as well, in case you are interested or you are willing to make a little bit of a drive. Let me make a note real quick. Put the PPTQ flyer in there. So I'm very much excited to play. So basically this is my big tournament, probably for the year. I don't imagine that this area is going to have another tournament. It was such a good payout for making the top eight as this particular tournaments are going to be. So this is what I'm going to be focusing on for the next 3 weeks or so. I really wish you could come back, Travis.
Yeah, not until May.
This is where you're supposed to say, I do too.
We have one here.
You do have one there, but are the prizes as good?
Probably not.
Alright, so, just to kind of finish through this, Esper Dragons took fourth. Another rally deck, was in the top eight. Another Abzan. Very similar. Very, very similar. Another four-color rally. Another four-color rally. So it looks like either I should be working on my four-color rally to play, or try something like this Conley Woods deck, where they just beat him down. I wonder how this does against the four-color rally deck. I should send him a tweet.
But the more important thing, does it beat Salt?
I don't know. That's an even better question. And does Assault Formation beat anything else?
I don't know. Probably not.
I don't know either. All right, guys. Well, it looks like there's our deadline. We have people coming over to take a look at the furnace, so the dogs are going to go insane. So I'm going to have to call it there. Unfortunately, I don't have time for a game. Maybe, Travis, I'll call you back in a little bit. We'll glue a game in. But if we don't, I'm Samus, he's Travis, this is Two Trolls and a Brew. Check out the website, SamusGarobo.com. Follow us at Twitter. I'm, of course, Samus Garobo. He's TurtlePower319. And we'll see you next week.
Troll on.
Troll on.